This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We offered all the time up for the candidates. To me, it's the most important thing you can do, whether you're voting early or you're heading to the polling place next Tuesday. Your school board, your city council, they make decisions that impact your day-to-day life like no other bodies. And it is our great pleasure to welcome Lexi Carson to the program. She is running for District 61 Board of Education. Lexi, good morning. Thank you for being with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. So I am for Lexis Carson. I am 29 years old. I am from Decatur, born and raised on the playground where I spend most of my days, seriously. But I'm a product of DPS. I've been in the district from kindergarten through 12th grade. I am a current employee of DPS. I'm a substitute teacher right now. I've been a TA. I've been a special education assistant, a coach. At several different schools, a mentor and a tutor. I've played basketball. That was my ticket out of Decatur. So I went to college and minored. I have a bachelor's in sports studies and I minored in business. So that's me. I don't have any kids, but I have 14 nieces and nephews plus three bonus ones that's been around DPS.
So you check all the boxes. You've been inside the system for 12 years. And what made you decide to run for school board? What made you decide to do this?
So what made me decide was the last 5 years, I had all those different titles. So I was able to experience and get the insight, like the secret insight. I've been to different teachers' lounges. So I've been almost every school, which I happened to be at MacArthur yesterday, so that checked off. That was the first time I was there. But, you know, to be able to see and hear and learn and experience different things, that helped in the relationships that I built with the teachers. I hear in the frustration, and I'm one of the teachers as well. So, you know, if I'm young and I don't have any kids, I don't really have to be here. And I know that if we don't get things changed, you know, I could go elsewhere just like anyone else. So I definitely wanted to, I guess, change routes. And I know this is not the traditional way. You know, we stay in this district for 30, you know, 20 odd years or whatever the case, and then retire and maybe try to get on there. But I wanted to take one for the team and really try to see if I can change, because I want to take that behind the scenes voice that I've got and, you know, bring it up front.
Okay, and one of your platforms is to improve staff morale and retention rate. And as you mentioned, competition is tough out there for teachers, right? They're in demand. People can make the choices about where they spend their career. How would you go about changing and improving staff morale and then hopefully retention rates for our teachers?
Okay, so yeah, I feel like, well, we all kind of know that, you know, the teachers are underpaid, they're overworked, they're spending time outside of their hours really trying to help these students, and we don't give them enough credit. We got pressure that's on them. So I believe that we have to first really see what would make them feel appreciated. You know, sometimes they just thank us, you know, support us, listen, help us with the in-class discipline or whatever the case may be. So we have to see what they need us for, how can, you know, we make them feel appreciated. And then we go about it. We put those resources in tasks, programs to help these students, the interventions. And I believe that we try to start that way to, and even if they, you know, we worry about the students on the mental and the social emotional, but we need to check on our teachers and our administrations as well, because I know we're talking about staff or teachers, but those are not the only ones that are, you know, planning to leave. You know, we have a lot. I actually talked to a teacher yesterday, that said that she wasn't going to be here much longer. So, you know, that hurts. That hurts. And so we got to do what we need to do.
Well, there's certainly the opportunity for wholesale change. I mean, you've got four seats that are going to be open, four incumbents that are not running for re-election. The superintendent of District 61, Dr. Paul Frigo, announced a couple of weeks ago he's taking a new job in the St. Louis area. So right now there is a whole lot of landscape out there to change, right? And how would you like to see all of that happen moving forward?
Okay, well, I feel like we have to really take a deep breath. We have to start and saying that it's not going to be overnight. You know, we have four, the new people have 4 years. So I feel like we have to take this like a game, you know, one school year at a time. Each year is a quarter. So we have to make sure that, you know, we have to see what's more important, our priorities. I know that the superintendent just, you know, came to the top and we were like, oh, we need a superintendent. But, you know, we have to wish him well, thank him for what he's done. But then we have to keep moving forward. We can't keep focusing on that. And I don't think that we need to rush things right now because, you know, we want to make sure that we're avoiding what has happened. I know we lose superintendents within the first couple of years or whatever. It's a pattern. So we have to take this process serious, and it needs to be done right and find the right candidate and maybe one that knows the community, the culture, as well as, you know, just understand our district. That way we can avoid, and maybe they'll know that the salary, hopefully they wouldn't, they're okay with, I'm not a salary cut, or I know that that's going to be hard after seeing the last superintendent, but, you know, it's not about the money. We're struggling with the money, so maybe we can kind of use some of the money to support other areas. But as far as, you know, just teachers and everyone else, we have to, again, see what's going on, see the priorities, and see what we can do and try to prioritize and at least try to make some kind of difference once a year.
All right. Yeah. Also on your platform, or at least just reading what I was reading on your Facebook page last night, equal educational opportunities among schools. What do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's kind of big one with me. Again, like I said, that I've been to almost every school. I probably didn't go to two schools, but every single school, even when, you know, coming in the district as a sub, they like, don't go to this school, don't go to that school. And for a moment, I'm like, okay, well, they gave me a tip. I'm not going to go there. But I decided to go to different schools for myself, and I see why. You know, it's a lot of things that that makes our district look, I guess, bad in a way. We have some schools that are considered like the better schools, you know, which we spend time on those schools, making them better, making sure that they look good. And then we can go to another school and they're not putting a lot of effort into the buildings, or even when it comes to behavior. We got some schools that, you know, behavior is much better, vice versa. I mean, other schools it's not. So I'm big on equality among the schools. We should all kind of be in the same boat. If one school have resources and programs, and, for instance, Dennis worked with Milliken, which, you know, I know that everybody can't work with Milliken, but things like that, like let's spread out some of those resources to different schools so we all can, you know, be on that, have an opportunity for success. It's kind of unfair to see certain schools have more programs or after school activities that other schools don't have. Even if, you know, teachers can't do it, let's at least have that opportunity for someone to do it. Maybe somebody in the community can teach there. So what happens is it makes it look bad. You know, students want to go to certain schools. Teachers would rather transfer to certain schools, which I've seen happen being in the district. And it's like at the end of the day, we're Team Decatur. It's one district. And at the end of the day, our district is failing. So I don't care how much money and how much time and effort we're putting in certain schools, as a whole, we're not doing so well.
All right. How do people get a hold of you in these last remaining days before Election Day if they want to support your campaign or just talk to you or ask questions? What's the best way for them to contact you?
Well, you can go on my Facebook page, Lexi Carson. I am free to answer questions. I have some yard signs. I did have yard signs, but they're kind of disappearing now. But you will see the yard signs. I've been talking to teachers and students. That's the biggest thing. Like I relate to the students, so it's not like forced. You can just ask me a question. You can get my number off of Facebook. Just anything you need to know, you can just reach me at Facebook.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate you being with us today, and thank you. It was nice meeting you. Good luck to you next Tuesday. Lexi Carson for the Decatur School Board of District 61 Board of Education. A lot of candidates out there. Nick, going to have a lot of change with District 61.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.